Come on, bless God. That's a pretty one. Yeah, I can enjoy that one all day long. Oh my God, my God. Amen. You ever listen to those songs and you say, Lord, I wish I had the voice. What do you call it? Keys? Alto, tenor, and all that? What was that? That's more of a soprano. What is that? Yeah. And that's when you wish you had a soprano so you can do that sweet holy. You know, and when you're a bass tenor kind of guy, you want to stay away, but you want to try. Amen. You all remember Jim Nabors, Gomer Pyle? He talked in one voice, but sing in another. That's when you wish you had that kind of versatility. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know you love God. And I know you enjoyed that song. But you ain't got it like that. Don't you mess that song up. I was sitting there thinking, man, I wish I had a part in that one. I can just do a dog. That's all I got. God is so wonderful. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again. And Lord, we really mean it. We thank you. Clouds have come in. The rain has begun to fall. But we thank you. Because we recognize that we are first and foremost still yet alive. And we can still render our praise unto you. Still lift up our voices in whatever key or octave we have. But it's unto you, God. We can still clap our hands, pat our feet on the floor, shake our head, let our tears flow. But it's all unto you, God. And then, Lord, we have come to hear what you are saying to the church, which means, God, you are talking to me. And so, God, I pray that I would have listening ears and an open heart. God, let my mind be ready. Give me comprehensive skills that I can take this word and rightly divide this word of truth. And, God, that I can use it in my everyday living, that I don't be just a Sunday saint, but God, that I can live for you all the time, and my light will shine, and others will say, ooh, my goodness, help me to know what you know, and I can testify that I've been with you. God, again, forgive me of my sins and have mercy, and God, help us to do better today than we did even an hour ago. Oh God, if you'll just cleanse us from unrighteousness, that we would begin to live the righteousness that is Christ Jesus, it would sure go well with us. And God, we will remember to give you all the praise and the glory. And God, my personal prayer is that you just use me now in these next few minutes, that Lord, I can talk about what I've been talking about with you, so that the people of God will come closer, be stronger, and God know that it is from everlasting to everlasting, and someday we're going to make our way home. In Jesus' name we pray, and the redeemed of the Lord said amen, 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 and amen. Come on, bless God by putting your hands together. Come on, bless God. Hallelujah, God. Amen. Amen. If you'll grab your Bibles, it's right at noon. It's just about 12 o'clock. If you grab your Bibles and if you pray with me and pray for me, we'll be done most directly. That's what my grandmother used to say, most directly. Now, I don't know what kind of clock goes with most directly, so don't hold me against anything. But you pray for me and pray with me. Will be done most directly. Amen. And some of you all are made out of sugar anyway. You can't go out there and get wet. So you might as well enjoy this time inside. Amen. All right. We don't want you to melt away. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, New Testament of your Bible. There toward the end, if you start from the back, you'll get there sooner. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. Again, thank you to all of our guests that have come. I have one card. Sister Patrice is with us today, and we're very thankful that you came, and we are blessed to God to have you, blessed to have you, and pray that you'll come back again. Amen. And if you're here and did not fill out a card, that's fine. You don't have to fill out a card. If you are in the witness protection program and been told not to give away that information, we honor that because many of us are in the witness protection program as well. And God is our witness. Amen. And he protects us. Amen. So we're very thankful to have you. And if you're here and didn't mean to be here, you're still in a good place. Amen. So we're honored to have you, and we certainly praise God for you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, just a few verses, and we'll move right along directly and see if we can't help somebody. It says, New Living Translation is what I have. Yours might read a little different if you have something else, and that's just fine. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. As you make your requests, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. Pray this way for kings and all others who are in authority so that we can live in peace and quietness and godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. For he wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and people. He is the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message that God gave to the world at the proper time. And he says, I have been chosen. This is an absolute truth. As a preacher, an apostle, to teach the Gentiles about faith and truth. So, wherever you assemble, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The awesome presence of God. Does anybody know where Jonathan goes when he goes that way? No, I'm just kidding. I just thought I'd give y'all something to laugh at because you know we still preaching on prayer. Amen. I am going to read again a verse that sets the platform for this next few moments, and it's simply the earlier verse where he says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. That's what you ought to do. And give thanks for them. And let me see if I can't get you. Ushers, y'all rest. Thank you. Y'all have done a fine job. Everybody seems to be in good shape. Let me see if I can't make this a little real and easy for you. You're sitting next to a living vessel of God. Yes, you are. The person you're sitting next to could be husband, wife, cousin, kinfolk, neighbor, stranger, whatever. But they are the image and likeness of God. Right in front of you. And I want you to do just a small favor for me. If you care anything about me at all, do me a small favor. And if you don't care anything about me, just keep it to yourself. But do me a small favor and look at that person Now, be mindful. They may look another way, but find you somebody else. They're not looking away from you because they want to ignore you. It's just that they don't have chameleon eyes. They got to choose one of them. And they may want to go back and forth. But look at that person, and if you can honestly follow what I say, you've already met a biblical principle. Just say to that person, I'll be praying for you.
Amen.
It's that simple. Thank you. See, what we've been doing for the last 3 weeks and now four. And the matter of it is that we just got to learn to be more prayer powerful. So all I'm trying to give you, I've been trying to be a bit humorous in the titles and stuff just to kind of give you a little edge of the seat. But I'm trying to help you to understand that you have something. Every one of you in this room have something. Proper English might have dictated that I say has something. But I didn't want to past tense the matter, and I wanted to present tense the point. It's good preaching. You have something. You have the power to pray to a God that's listening to every word that falls from your lips. You can change lives without their permission. Sometimes we ask people, what would you like me to pray for? What would you like me to say to God? And that's fine. That's fine. But you don't need their permission to ask God to change, to strengthen, to build up their lives. Paul says, I am urging you to do it. It's a matter of extreme importance that we pray one for the other. And Paul says that there are just a couple of little things that he wants them to do. He said, first of all, don't be selfish or prejudiced or racist in your prayers. Pray for all people. Nudge your neighbor and say, you can do it. I ain't praying for them after what they done to us. I ain't praying for them because they don't know Jesus. Let me tell you something. You didn't always know Jesus. And somebody prayed for you. Pray for all people. You've done it before. You can do it for the rest of your life. How many of you, let me see if I can get you to wake up and smell the coffee. How many of you have been praying for those folk on that airplane? You don't know them. But you've been praying. Some of us know now it's flight MH370. 239. And we're saying, God, please let them be found. Let their families have peace. Let something good come out of this. That's a prayer for people you don't even know. And how many of you know that but for the grace of God, it didn't have to be a Malaysian Airlines flight. It could have been Southwest, USA, Delta, and you could have been on your way to a simple business meeting, or to grandma's house, or Disney World, and it could have been us. He said, just pray for old people. That's why, again, I'm always fretful about the absence of folk who come to pray with us, because there's so much to pray for. My God, there's so much to pray for. Pray for old people. And then he says this, he says, ask God to help them. How many of you know that all of us need help? 22 of y'all are honest right off the bat. The rest of y'all were getting your nails clean. I mean, all of us need help. Amen. If you don't do anything else for Leroy, ask God to help him. You can say it any kind of way you want it. Lord, help him. Or Lord, help him. You know, because sometimes when folks say you need help, there's something behind that, ain't it? But he said, ask God. And you know what? God will help them. How many know we've had the help of the Lord? Amen. He said, ask God to help them. Whatever they need help in, Lord. You don't have to be all up in folk Kool-Aid to ask God to help them. Lord, help them. Lord, help us. Lord, we need help. Finance. Big help. Romance. Big help. Employment. Big help. My children, my wife, my husband, my grandmama, Nana, Papa, help! We ought to all be walking around with a SOS sign. So what now? Something else. Didn't we just help you? Yep. Appreciate it. Do it again. Look at the name and say, do it again. So he said, ask God to help them. And then here's where we're going to almost turn the corner. Deacon Davis, he said, intercede on their behalf. You know what an interceder is. What's an interceder? One who gets in there. So I'll take it. Jesus gives us an indication of what intercessory life can be like at its most extreme. And he says, would one lay down his life? That's interceding. How many ever heard this expression, take one for the team? How many know it all depends on what team you're on? Amen. I'm getting off this team. It's too much taking right here. But he said, intercede. Listen, if you care anything about me, you want to help me get through some things. If I care anything about you, I want to help you get through some things. How many have ever told somebody you ain't got to go through that by yourself? Call me. That's good biblical life. Intercede to say, listen, you trying to do too much. You worry too much. Let me take some of that off your hands. That's good intercessory life. And intercessory life doesn't give you the right to broadcast folk business. I'm going to put that in there. You don't get to do that. When folks say to you, listen, I need to talk to you in confidence. That's what they mean. They tell you something and say, could you help me through this? I need to intercede. Could you take some of this off me? That's what Jesus asked his father. He said, could you take some of this off me? Could you make this a little easier to bear? How many of you can use some help like that? Amen. He said, intercede on their behalf. And then he says, and give thanks for them. You know, that's a major undertaking because sometimes folk forget to be thankful. How many of you ever forgot to be thankful? How many of you, you know the story of the 10 and only one came back? 9 guys forgot to be thankful. But you know what I love about God? Even when we forget to be thankful, he doesn't take back the blessing. Amen. How many of you got blessings and you weren't thankful and you know you wasn't thankful, but God didn't take back the blessing? How many of you have had a late thought of thankfulness and said, oh my goodness, I forgot to tell God thank you. Tell your neighbor, it ain't never too late to be thankful. Oh Lord, I just had a 79 flashback. Thank you! He said, be thankful. He said, and give thanks for them. Because you know sometimes folk are in a hurry and forget to be thankful. And so Paul said that's what we need to be doing. And so it sets us up in a prayer life. If you just follow the first principles in that little verse, you're going to have a whole lot of praying to do. But again, you have to understand that part of why we have focused so intently on prayer is because we have not seen this among the children of God. We must pray. And let me help you to understand that the church doesn't pray simply because it's the expected thing to do. That's not why we pray. We pray because prayer is life for us. Y'all didn't hear me? It's not just because we're supposed to have prayer meeting that we have prayer meeting. We have prayer meeting because we live to pray. I don't know about you all, but every one of those prayer sessions gives me a boost. It's my Red Bull moment without the shaking. You know, when you pray to God, I come out of every prayer opportunity refreshed, expectant, excited, because I've had time to talk to God, and now I'm waiting on God to do that God thing. How many know God to do that God thing? When you pray. And he said, listen, we are vital, vibrant, and vigored because of our prayer. We get energy from praying. The old church would do that. Nobody would come out there looking like they've been beat up. They came out there on fire, feeling power. Feel a little prayer, we'll turn it. Know there's a little fire burning. Just a little talk with Jesus. Y'all ain't hearing me. Prayer meetings and prayer gathering shouldn't sound like mournful settings.
No.
We're praying like we're all dead. Almost dead. On our last leg. I've never understood that analogy. But I've heard it a lot. But I mean, feel a little prayer wheel turning. Know a little fire. That's vital, vibrant, vigorous prayer. Paul said that's how you ought to do it. Some of us get excited about a lot of things, but not prayer. Amen. Some of us can be in the middle of the most depressing moments and our song come on. And we tell folks, that's my jam right there. Some of us done about got fired off our job for turning our radio up or putting our headphones on. Got more Pandora than we got prayer. He said, you know, I'm praying because if we only pray for God to do stuff for us, that's selfish. We ought to pray for other people. And pray thanksgiving prayers. When you say, Lord, if you don't never do another thing, you've already done more than enough, you ought to mean that. You can't say that and then 2 minutes after that, you say, oh, by the way. So we got to learn how to pray for other folk and pray that God would bless them and pray that we can intercede for them. You cannot pray selfish prayers and call yourself a prayer warrior. And even if you're not a warrior, you're just a junior enlisted man, a woman, you ought to learn how to pray for other people. And pray without ceasing. Yeah. Amen. I mentioned a few weeks ago that we would have an overnight prayer meeting and didn't hear a whole lot of folks saying, I'll be there. I heard some folks say, I'll be praying for y'all. Well, why you can't be here? You know, y'all go ahead, I'll be praying for y'all. But we pray because we live to pray. And so Paul helps us understand that then the Holy Spirit works. Let me tell you why some churches have such an absence of the Holy Spirit's power is because they lack prayer. The Holy Spirit works in the church through prayer.
Yeah.
Y'all miss me? When we are praying in the Word of God, the Thessalonian letter reminds us of, the letter to Ephesus reminds us, the Galatian letter, all throughout the Word of God, we are constantly reminded that a praying church has the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God.
fall fresh on us. Use us in our prayer lives. That's why we would say things like, listen, we need to pray. That language cannot leave the church. When crazy stuff starts happening, we don't need to arm ourselves. Somebody needs to say, hold on, we're going to pray. Stop right here, we're going to pray. We're riding down the highway and things get crazy. Pull over and pray. On your job, you can pray. Keep your eyes open. Keep doing your Xeroxing and typing and be praying up a storm.
Yes, sir.
How many of y'all had to pray up a storm so it don't go off up in here? Folks said, you calm right on down. Oh, yeah, I was praying.
Yep.
Jesus, if you don't show up, the police will. Them real prayers right there. Any y'all have prayed real prayers? Amen. How many of you ever had to look at somebody and say, you ought to thank God for Jesus? And you know, when people say that to you, you know what they mean. It's about to go off. But the Holy Spirit wants to work in us. And what he says is, when you pray like that, you will have power. There's one thing I know about people. We like power. Nudge your neighbor and say, I know that's right. We like power. We like to tell folk to come and go, and we like to be able to exercise our authority. Some of us got our little desk plate, you know, with our name on it, and got our little title there, and when people come in, we point at it to remind them, you know who you're talking to. How many of you ever had to tell somebody, you better watch who you're talking to? That's because you got power. You're down in the mail room, you don't talk like that. The CEO comes around, you know who got the power. And that's what God's trying to tell you. You got the power. You are CEOs in the Lord. Christian example officers. I like it myself. That's what you are. How many times have I told you to stop living beneath your privilege? You got the power. You can pray unto God. And even if you can't get the words, you got an intercessor that understands the moanings and groanings and tears and heartaches. Make your request known to God.
Yeah.
And he will. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, I know that's right. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will restore you. He will lift you up and turn you around. He will make a way out of no way. He will be a bridge over troubled water. He will. I know he will. That's when that I tried him for myself kicks in. God gave me the power. I'm still alive. Not because I took my medicine. Not because I've been so smart. But God gave me the power. You know your tongue got power. Bible says you got life and death. Sister Jennifer and I were just having a little broad conversation, and she don't mind me telling a little brief story. Talking about a lady came on her job talking about I got the power to kill you. Jennifer didn't tell me what she really told the lady. Because she's still here. I know she told her something. But the fact of the matter is you have that kind of power. The Bible says you do. You can speak life. How many of you ever told somebody when they were talking negative and foolish, I don't want to hear that from you. You be encouraged. Get on back out there and fight the good fight. Sometimes it's just what you say that makes all the difference in the world. How many of you know you have probably kept someone from suicide by your timely words? Somebody didn't go do that crazy thing because of your timely words. He said the power of the church is in its prayers because when the Holy Spirit comes, he gives us power. I'm almost done here, Deacon McKenzie, but look in the Bible and you will discover in the book of Acts a very prominent power story that the people of that time used the word of God and prayer to defeat their enemies. They didn't put together an army, they just prayed. Let me take you to an Old Testament story. The Battle of Jericho was one of the most beautiful battles in all of the history of the world because they just prayed. You You tell some church folk now that we're going to walk around something 6 or 7 times, they look at you and say, look at it, Reverend, we just need to go and do something. We're going to pray. No, Reverend, we need. Listen, I have had people tell me, no, Reverend, we need to do a little more than pray. Praying is the best thing we can do anytime. Just pray. And see, some of y'all done become fisticuff people and pistacuff and knife-a-cuff and cuss-a-cuss. You got to learn how to just sit back. Oh, don't y'all look at me like that. I know some of y'all. You got to just pray. And some people come and even told me, Dick, they were, Reverend, I prayed, but then I had to take action. You just got to pray. And he said, when you turn to prayer, prayer will protect us. Bible says, and they overcame by the words of their testimony, which is a connection of our prayer. I'm convinced of God that if we just prayed more, we'd see more from God. I'm an action person, Reverend. I believe in getting it done. But pray. Teach us a thing or three about prayer. He said, if you want the power of God, pray. And then he said, don't worry about anything. That's what Philippians writing. We're about done. He said, don't worry about anything. What did he say? Instead, pray about everything. How many of you have ever worried about anything? You are a candidate for more prayer. Some of y'all saw it coming and put your hand about right here. No, if you, listen, my hand right here. If you have ever worried about anything, you are a candidate for more prayer. Because the letter says, instead of worrying about it, pray about it. I don't know what to say. Say help!
Yes.
Say what we've been saying for years. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Then the First Timothy principle kicks in. Maybe somebody already praying for you. I told you what my mama and my grandmama said. Baby, you never know who prayers you making it on. And I thank God that when I was too stupid to pray for myself, and stupid is that stupid does, somebody was praying that this long, lanky boy got back home that night. Somebody was praying that what I left on the table and came back and drank, that somebody didn't put something in it, and I didn't lose my mind because mama prayed over me. Somebody was praying that my enemies did not get the advantage over me when I turned my back on folk I never should have turned my back on. It was because somebody prayed, Lord, bring Michael home. I ain't have sin to pray. I'm too busy having a good time. How many of you know that you've been in dangers unaware? Because somebody prayed. He said, but don't worry, pray. I can't tell you how many times I heard my mother say, boy, I prayed about you all night long. Had you on my mind. How many of y'all ever had that? I got you on my mind and I prayed and the phone rang. You say, you know, I was just thinking about you. You all right? I was concerned. Hadn't heard from you. That's what the word says. Some of y'all done worried yourself about bald. Some of y'all just went on and went bald. Some of you, you know, we get that analogy that says we get gray hairs because we worry. Not necessarily. I don't know if that's altogether true. I don't know. But I know one thing. I got an answer for you. Instead of worrying about it, instead pray about everything. And watch what he said. Tell God what you need. Don't you let nobody tell you about it. You can't tell God what you need. He already knows what you have need of. You tell him anyway. You bothering God. You can't never bother God. Bible says he's waiting to hear from you. He inhabits praise and prayer. God said, why y'all ain't talking to me? Tell him everything. And then he said, and thank him for what he's done. Thank him. Look at you. All of you got some done in you. God been good to y'all. I should have got a better answer than that. God, everybody in here, God been good to you. And old folks say, it's as well as it is. Lord, I'm lame, but thank you. I can't run like I used to. Thank you. My blood pressure high. Thank you. I got diabetes. Thank you. My kidney's failing. Thank you. I'm about blind in one eye. Can't see. Thank you. I'm here. Tell your neighbor, everything breaking down. But I'm here. That's why you got children. Hey, bring me that. Before they had remote, we had children. Go turn that channel right there. Hold that rabbit ear, boy. Stay where you at. All right, that's good right there. Daddy, I got to stay here along with the show on you. Thank him for what he's done. Here is the closing argument. He said, listen, because when you pray, you get the benefits. What? Say what? Yeah. When you pray, you get the benefits. Bible shows us, and it talks about the effectual and fervent prayers. We're getting the benefits. God is blessing us. Because we pray. Effectual and fervent prayers. Effectual means what? It works. Listen, you don't ever go to persons to ask them to do what you don't think they're capable of doing. They can make it work. Fervent means reverent, sincere, genuine prayers unto God. For our brothers and sisters, again, he says, pray for everybody. It makes stuff happen. We get the benefits. And when they pray, rooms shake when people pray. People get up off their beds of affliction when people pray. Blinded eyes begin to see when people pray. Hunger becomes a used to be when people pray. Homelessness becomes defeated when people pray. Children come back home and thank God leave again when people pray. But if you give up prayer, you give up the blessed benefits of a godly life. He says, when you pray, God hears and answers our prayer. The Holy Spirit working the power of God, interceding. How many have been praying out of a hurt condition and said some things to God that were a little risky, but the Holy Spirit fixed it for you? How many have ever prayed with one hand balled up behind your back because you really want to shake your fist at God, but the Holy Spirit fixed it for you? But don't you give up the benefits of prayer. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Hold on when you pray. Stand firm when you pray. Bear down when you pray. But pray. Because when you pray, God will hear you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good is a prayer clause. Because when you pray, God takes the pressing of your grapes of prayer and makes new wine. Some of y'all got that. I say God takes the pressing of your prayer grapes and makes new wine. And that's why we can declare Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why we can declare victory in all of our trials and tribulation. That's why we sing songs that say the Lord will make a way somehow. When beneath the cross I bow. That's a prayer posture, children, because when we fall down on our knees, God knows that we are in trouble. How many know that when you're in trouble, you need to call on the Lord? Somebody here is already in posture. You've already determined that you're going to have a little talk with Jesus. Because Grandma said a long time ago that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. How many know that God can still make everything all right? I need a witness long through here that know that God can make a way somehow. That God is still a bridge over my troubled waters. God is still a help when I need help. God is still hope when I need hope. How many know that God will answer your prayer? Somebody say that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the clock may say midnight. It may say 3 a.m. It could be a little past 11. But joy is coming in the morning. And morning time does not wait until 6 a.m. nor the rising of the sun. But on the inside is morning time. On the inside, I feel my strength coming. On the inside, I'm getting my power back because I'm praying unto God. And I'm going to keep on praying when nobody else will pray, when the choir won't pray, when the preacher won't pray, when the deacons won't pray. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm pressing my way, getting closer to God. And when I call in name, I know God will answer. Anybody ever heard from him? Anybody ever called on him? Won't God answer? Ain't God a prayer answer? He's a prayer divider. He takes the foolishness and cast it away and takes the faithfulness and puts it before the throne. And because we are faithful, God hears us and delivers us from all of our trouble. The writer says, I was sinking deep in sin, but God delivered me from all my trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, old things have passed away, but all things are becoming new. Won't God make it new? Can you say new? Won't God give you joy? Can you say joy? Won't God give you peace? Can you say peace? Won't God give you love? Can you say love? Won't God give you help? Can you say help? Say God. Say peace. Say joy. Say help. Say love. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. God answers prayer. Boy, praying people are some kind of people. When they pray, their enemies were defeated. When they prayed, food came out the sky. When they prayed, water came from rocks. When they prayed, but we're waiting on now. When we pray, God who did it before will do it again. I don't know about you, but there are some coming attractions of God that I can't wait to be a part of. I trust him in my prayers. Effectual and fervent prayers of people like you. Look at your name and say, you can do this. And you know, I'm going back around the corner, but here's the summary pitch. There's an old commercial
used to come on TV. There's three little boys sitting around the breakfast table eating cereal. And one little boy sitting there in the middle, his arm folded up. And the other two are trying to encourage him. It's a bowl called Life Cereal. Now, I looking back, I find it interesting that a cereal is called life. That's good preaching along through there. But you know the little boy, old Mikey. Got little freckles in his face. You know, he's sitting there, got his face about as tight as he can get it. And they said, try it. You'll like it. Try it. You'll like it. And old Mikey, probably like most of us, got sick of him, bothering him at the breakfast table. Yeah. He took the old spoon. And he did, in the word of the Jed Clammy, he got a heaping, helping spoonful. And he shoved it in the old pipe. And he chewed it. And as Mikey was chewing, his eyes lit up. And boy, he picked up the pace. And they looked at each other and said, hey, Mikey, he likes it. And that's all I'm trying to tell you about prayer. Try. I ain't going no Wednesday night prayer. I ain't getting up no 6 o'clock in the morning. Take that old spoon. Scoop you up a heaping, helping full of prayer. And next thing you know, you'll be in the parking lot at 5:45. Saying, y'all better get that door open. It's praying time. Try it. You'll like it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, Mikey boy, you couldn't stop him. I heard tell not only did he eat his cereal, but he ate theirs too. Sometimes you can fall in love deep, but prayer gonna change your life. It'll work. And you can start off with just a generic prayer. It's me, it's me. It's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. God, I just need to learn how to talk to you. Let me see if I can get the fellas to help me and we'll go on about our business. You remember, fellas, back in the day when we were trying to convince that old gal that we were the right choice. Back in the day, see, you young brothers don't know nothing about this, but us old school brothers know you had to have a rap back in the day. Y'all remember that? And your rap had to be strong. You had to come in with something that somebody else didn't have. And so if you wanted to convince that old gal that you is the one, you couldn't just come with a pack of now-laters and a grape soda. That's the after party. You had to be able to say something. And you knew when you were getting to her because her shoulders would start to come down a little bit. And then she'd get that little sag. And then she'd twirl her hair. And say, gone, boy. And when you get her to saying, gone now, you reach back and get another gear. You say, I got this. You become exclusive because no other fellas can come on her poach no more. Her mama begin to defend your territory. Don't come around here. She going steady. Steady means what? I got this. And the more comfortable you got, the better the relationship was. And it's the same thing with prayer. You got to start off a little general, you know. But boy, once you get that, and you got God's ear, you know you got this. You start going around taking prayer requests. Listen, I'm getting ready to pray. What can I put up there for you today? You look like a waitress in a restaurant with your little pad.
You want God to do what? That's it? You sure you don't want fries with that? You want a malt?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to God around 3 o'clock. Y'all want to get your orders in? And folk be coming by your desk. You praying today? You know I am. 3 times like Daniel. That's what Daniel did. The Bible says, even when Daniel heard the decree was signed, he put his little apron on. Said, I'm getting ready to put my orders in. They said, Daniel, they've signed the decree. Daniel said, listen, me and God got an arrangement. I meet him 3 times a day, and he meets me 3 times a day. And I do it with the windows open. What you want? They say, pray that them lions don't eat you. Got that cup. But you need to learn how to do it. See, some of us fellas know, and you know, if you're a fella and you in your 40s and still living with mama, your rap was bad. That's why you still home, because you didn't know how to do it. But we can help you now. Amen. So if you have a little talk with Jesus, just start out where you are. You may not be able to talk to him for an hour. May not be able to talk to him for 15, 10 minutes. But if you just say, Lord, I know you're there. And first, God, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. See, that's Thanksgiving. Remember I told you that our praise is the pathway I pray. Tell him thank you. If your whole prayer time with God ain't nothing but prayers of thanksgiving, those were good prayers. Sometimes, Brother Walker, I'll be praying and I'll hear something in the house or something will distract my attention and I'll start praying about that. I say, God, I thank you that noise coming from down the hall, that's my grandson. God, I didn't have one of those a few years ago, but I thank you, God, that you have seasoned me. And see, that's another line of prayer. And then I hear the clock ticking on the wall and I say, Lord, I thank you that you gave me more time. Because Lord, I didn't think I'd live to be 53 years old, but Lord, you gave me more time. And then the phone will ring and I say, Lord, I thank you that people called to check on me. Whoever that is, God, I'm not going to take the call now, but bless them for thinking about me. Because they could have dialed in and see how prayer can just unfold. And then, you know, if you're in the right posture, your knees will start hurting. And I said, Lord, I thank you that these old knees have lasted me 53 years. I'm down here, God, and I'm going to have to think about getting up, but thank you for giving me health and strength. Because somebody, Lord, done had 2 or 3 knee replacements. And I thank you, God, that you have kept me and you just keep on unfolding. And then you get sleepy. And God knows you get sleepy because prayer relaxes you. And you say, Lord, before I nod off for the third time, I just want to thank you for giving me rest. Because you know when this old body gets tired. No, see how pray. And before you know it, 45 minutes have gone by. And you've been with the Lord. Or maybe just 10 minutes have gone by. But you've been praying. And God is so gracious that he'll stay right there with you. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet heavenly dove. Stay right there with us. Filling us. Oh, that's God. Let's stand on our feet together. It's time for y'all to go. Maybe somebody here today has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. Maybe you've been just waiting for the right moment and you're not really sure when the right moment comes. I'll tell you when the right moment comes. It's right now. Because God has been waiting for you. God has kept you all day long. All lifelong, that you could come to a good decision. Jesus loves you. Ain't no doubt about it. Somebody who knows that, can you tell your neighbor, I know that's right. He loves you. And he would that no man or woman would perish but that all would come to salvation, saving grace in Christ Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Anybody ever been tired? Know what it's like to get a little rest? Have you ever been so tired that you fell asleep with your clothes on? You sat on the edge of the bed to get ready to take your shoes off and you told yourself, let me just lay here a minute. And next thing you know, hours had gone by. Your shoes still on your feet. You wake up and say, ooh. You know, we always say, I was tired than I thought. But God will give you rest. And how many know sometimes that's the best rest? I mean, when you're in that uncomfortable position and don't even know it. Oh, granted, you wake up with a crook in your neck. But boy, while you were sleeping, it was feeling some kind of good. But God will give you rest. And he says, if you're heavy laden, you've been in labor, he'll give you rest. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Our doors are open for Christian discipleship in Christ Jesus. Our doors are open that you would know the salvation of God. Would you come? This is so important that we often press through too fast. Because I know how I felt sitting in the back of the church years ago, wondering what my friends were going to say. Wondering what do they say when you get up there and whisper in the man of God's ear and he holds your hand. I didn't know, but I was a bit apprehensive. But boy, finally, one day I went. And I got to tell you, I couldn't have gone too soon. But our doors are open that you would come to know the saving grace of God. Because he loves you. Don't think you're so bad or so messed up that you don't qualify. If you would meet us out in the parking lot and give us 5 minutes of your time, we'll tell you how unqualified we were. But God took us. And we are so grateful that he did. What you see in us now is not what we've always been. And what you're looking at today ain't the best it's going to be. But we thank God that he looked beyond our faults and met our every need. Thank God for Jesus. If you're here today, would you come? And the doors are open for Christian discipleship. Would you come? Would you come? If all of you are sure and bear some confidence in your relationship with God, that's wonderful. But maybe you just need a little bit of a boost, a little bit of a push. Maybe now you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm going to get that prayer thing all in all. And I need God to restore me. Give me again that little spark of confidence that I'm all right. The ministry of reconciliation is a ministry that is vital to every believer. Because all fall short every now and then. And we just want to make sure that we can enter in. So if we ask God to forgive us, he will. If we ask God, can we come closer? He'll say, yes, you can. So maybe you just want to get closer. Feeling a little better about yourself and saying, you know what, God? I'm ready to move on to the next thing. I want you to use me there. So I want to step into a fresh anointing. You do know all of your lives are anointed by God. But there are refreshing anointings. God makes it clear again that I still love you and I still trust you. Draw nearer. If you're here today and you want to just draw nearer, God will let you do that. He'll let you do it. God bless you. He'll let you do it. Just want to get nearer. Just want to closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. If I just need to hear God reaffirm me, maybe you just need to be reaffirmed in the Lord. The work of your ministry, the work of your labor seems a bit
stagnant and you're not really sure if what you're doing matters anymore. So maybe you just want God to nudge you in the back and say, keep going. Maybe you're not sure if you're still on the right path. And maybe you need God to be again the light unto your path and the lamp unto your feet so you'll know that you are still on course. Many of you have ever traveled the road, and as many times as you've gone that way, every now and then you say, wait a minute, is this right way? Looks unfamiliar. And then the sign comes up and you go, oh yeah, this is it. Sometimes we just need God to give us another sign. That yeah, you're doing the right thing. You're making good progress. So I just need a reaffirming word today from God. So I just want to ask God to reaffirm the work. Reaffirm the way and the lifestyle. Maybe that's all you need today. Maybe you just need to know that a church is praying for you. So I need the reassurance of a collaborative effort on my behalf. So I'll grab somebody by the hand and say, listen, come on. I want to make sure you're praying for me. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. Come on, let's go together. We're going to be each other's affirmation. I'm going to remind you of what Timothy tells us. I want to remind you and urge you. And I want to let you know I'm interceding for you. To every husband, this is your chance to get some points. Grab your baby by the hand and say, come on, I want you to know I'm your cover. I'm the man who loves you, and I'm going to protect you and intercede for you. I'm going to make life better for you. To every wife, this is your opportunity to make points. To say to your husband, I want to reaffirm you as my husband. And tell you again that I trust God for you. And that I'm going to be praying for you. I know you've had a difficult time on the job. I know you've had a difficult time. But I want to let you know that I'm still with you. I'm still for you. You're still my hero. You may not have everybody else's favor and attention, but you got mine. And for families, this is an opportunity to grab your family. And say, listen, we're going as a family. We haven't been able to eat dinner together. We see each other only in the hallways. But this is our moment to stand together and be assured. In the words of the old Sister Sledge song, we are family. I got you. You're covered. I know we've had a falling out. We don't agree on everything, but Lord knows I love you. How many of you know that you don't have to agree with people on everything and can still love them? Now, you don't have to bash them in the head either. But you can love them. Sometimes we disagree because of silly things, and sometimes it's because we want more for you than we see you going after for yourself. Sometimes we see you on a bad path in a bad relationship, and we don't like that, and we don't really know how to say it in love, so we get mad, and we don't want to talk to you as long as you with him or her, and you don't change, I ain't going to. No, that ain't what we really mean. What we really mean to say is I love you so much that I want the very best for you. And I don't want to see you compromising. I don't want to see you taking seconds. Amen. I don't want to see you struggling anymore. So I didn't know how to say it back then, but I want to say it now that I love you. And I'm going to stand with you. So I want you to call me like you used to. I want you to come over to my house and eat dinner with me like you used to. We haven't been doing it in a while. We've been separated, but we should have been praying. And now that we learned that, we're going to do better. Can we do that one for another? That's all I want. I want somebody to pray for me and pray with me that God would bless me. That's what he told him. Pray for them. I urge you to do it. Squeeze that hand. Yeah. you guys and gals got power. Don't let the power go to waste. Use what you got. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Speak to your husband. Speak to your children. Speak to your wives. Speak to your deacons and pastors and ushers. Don't ignore the opportunity to strengthen someone's life by praying for them. When you leave here today, as you hug those four or five people like we always ask you to do, I urge you to add this to your salutation. I'm going to pray for you. Now, if you want to spend some time like y'all always do, hanging around after the service, and say, listen, what's the most pressing need in your life? How can I bless you? And you know, when you ask people, how can you bless them? It don't mean you got to give them money. You can bless them by praying for them. And if somebody is willing to ask you that, put it out there. And if you have to put in a proviso that said, listen, I'm going to trust you with this. And if I hear it again, I know it came from you. But I need you to pray that God would. Put it out there. It's a biblical principle. So it's got to work. I've been struggling with this secret. I've been struggling with this illness. I've been struggling with this. So if you will intercede with me, that's going to lighten my load. And I'll know that you're praying for me so I can kind of feel a little better about it. Because I know you mean what you say when you pray. So in them five or six greetings toward the end, just say, listen, I'm going to be praying for you. And if they say, can you step over here for a minute? Don't go. Because that might happen. There's some people on the edge of need right now. I feel it. There's some people on the edge of need right now. Been waiting on somebody to come along and help them. Peter and John were absolutely right. Silver and gold we don't have. But such as we have, such as I know that works, I'll share it with you. I know prayer works. I know it. All right. If you're here today, and I know you are, I want you to trust God for the most pressing thing in your life. Put that on the balcony of your heart right now. The most pressing thing doesn't mean that you don't have other things, but this has been something that you have certainly struggled with. And struggle don't always mean negative. It just means that it's lingered a while. It could be health, it could be relational, it could be financial, it could be a many, many, many things. But if it is the thing that you want to deal with before God in this moment, with the most urgency, because that's what Paul said, I urge you, set that to the balcony of your minds, on your hearts. Now close your eyes. Humble yourself before God. God, all over this room there are requests being made known. Your word says that we would pray about everything and stop worrying about anything. So your children stand in this room with their requests. They're not begging because you never told us we had to beg you. They're not making a last ditch effort. They're standing in their faith. And they want to talk to you. And so we're being honest with you. Because you love honesty. And this one thing is the most important thing. Among many other things. So we present that to you and simply say, thy will be done. whatever you determine to do with what we just mentioned to you, or as we continue to mention it to you, give us the strength to bear. God, if you will not take it away, teach us how to live with it. If you will not give it to us, show us what is given. If indeed, Lord, we have asked amiss, then we count on the Holy Spirit to do His work and intercede in correction. Thy will be done. My brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, another relative, a friend, has asked me to be in prayer continually. And so, God, I bring that with me in my little bags of prayer. And I set them before you because you know what's best to do. You said we can be direct in our prayers. And so, God, we're not going to try to camouflage it. We're just going to tell you exactly what it is that we need from you. And we pray that whatever we have asked of you, we can glorify you in the same. Lord, hear our prayer. Forgive us of our trespass. Forgive us for not being obedient to call to pray. I'm holding somebody's hand, and they're holding my hand, and we're holding each other. And the principle that we are mindful of says, as touching and agreeing, and if two or three have gathered in your name, you'll be in the midst, and you will hear and answer our prayers. Thy will be done. For my neighbor, even for myself, God, show up in a big way. As we remember the passengers on the airliner, as we remember our brothers and sisters in Crimea, in Africa, in Guatemala, in New Delhi, Europe, all over this world, as we remember, Lord, the families that got bad news at 3 o'clock this morning, as we remember the family whose son or daughter is serving in military affairs, as we remember even our own, God bless us. Help us, Lord, to make it one step at a time, one day at a time. But keep us praying. Keep us praying. Keep us praying. In the name of Jesus. There are saints and friends and strangers and relatives in hospitals and nursing homes and those who lie upon their beds of affliction. There are those who are traveling and have yet to travel. Those are going to get on the school bus and stand at the crossing guard's position. Those are going to drive the bus. Those who are going to greet our children, God bless. Keep a hedge of protection around our children, that they not become victimized. Keep a hedge of protection, Lord, around our families, that we'll stay united together in love. And God, help us to fight the good fight of our faith, to keep our focus on you. Because you said once we put our hands to the plow, we cannot afford to look back. So keep us marching up the King's highway. Every round going higher and higher. Until that day when we'll meet you in the air. In the name of Jesus. The redeemed of the Lord will say amen, amen, and amen. All right, hug at least 4 or 5 folk now. Say something nice to them. We pray to see you again real soon. Go in peace, because peace is yours to have. Amen.